turn a couple pages over to 152 in the course book. One of our favorites here. Thank God I am free.
Rain.
211, Everything is All Right in My Father's House.
It's good to be in Sunday school this morning. Amen. And I appreciate it every once in a while.
I said to my brother back there, I thought maybe about canceling the teaching time and just have a singspiration. Amen. My wife is called Patty, Patricia, Mrs. Seaball, my sweetheart, but she's also commonly known as Ma. So you might as well get used to that. Now, we talked out in the motorhome about, let's, get dignified and call you Patrician, call me George or whatever, pastor or whatever. And it's just going to slip. So throughout the time that we're together, Ma and Rev, okay? I got that name 40-some-odd years ago as a little youngster in our 4-year-old kindergarten, 5-year-old kindergarten. Couldn't remember my name, so he said something to the effect, Reverend George, pastor, some other thing, and it just stick. The first thing, Rev, R-E-V. My mother called me Rev. People who know me call me Rev. People who don't like me, I won't tell you what they call me. It is good to be in God's house. If you never met me, you miss nothing. If you never met my Jesus, you've missed everything. It's all about Him. And I'm glad to be here. My brother said, tell him a little bit about yourself. I met my wife when she was 9. I didn't know the Bible real well. I thought the Bible said, train up a girl in the way she should go. And when she's old, she'll not depart from it. But we didn't get married until she turned 10. I was in my junior year at North College of Engineering when we were married. I was saved there at North College of Engineering on a Friday afternoon in an art appreciation class. We were studying some works of art, and there was one of Joseph of Arimathea taking Jesus down off the cross by Michelangelo. And I sat in that classroom with 19 men. I sat in the back row. You know that's where all good students sit? Isn't that right? That's where all spiritual people sit, in the back row. Anyway, I was sitting in the back row, and on the opaque projector came a picture of that piece of sculpture work with the limp, dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just started crying. Bawled my eyes out. And can you imagine that? 19 men in this class. For one, I was one of them, but 18 men in the class. And I'm just, and they all turned around and looked, sitting in the back. They all turned around. What's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? And I was under deep conviction. My brother had taught and told and explained and lectured and preached all about the gospel, about being born again. And I rejected, because I'm going to be an engineer. An engineer is real scientific, factual, and all that kind of stuff. And I realized that the Bible was true. And the Bible was factual. And the Bible was historical. And Jesus died for the sins of mankind. And I was one of that for whom he died. And I trusted Christ right there. I didn't go to an altar. I knew what I needed to do after a year and a half of listening to my brother. My wife was saved before I was, listening to, at that time, a girlfriend. We hadn't gotten married yet, but listening. And so when I saw that picture, it brought salvation. I trust this morning that you're all saved, that you've all trusted Christ as your personal Savior. No greater decision in all your life than that decision to trust Jesus. This world's not my home, the songwriter said. I'm just passing through. My trouble, this world is not my home. Amen. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I'll not be at home in this world anymore. It's interesting doing what my wife and I do. We work with Solid Rock Baptist Church. They have a burden and a vision to reach the Northeast with the gospel. One of the things they do in the summertime, they have a summit meeting and invite independent Baptist folks and the pastor. We bring the pastor in free of charge. We put him up in a first-class motel, hotel, pay for all his meals, the conference costs, the whole deal. They get to come for free. Now, unless you're a pastor, you have to pay, okay? But you all are invited to that meeting, and it's been beneficial. Mine, I have visited, probably 260 churches here in what we call the Northeast, and been with preachers, been with folks. It's just an exciting ministry. It's a ministry of encouragement. Someplace here in Pennsylvania, we had scheduled to visit a pastor, and we made an arrangement, called on telephone, and so forth. When I called on telephone, I said, hi, I'm Reb from Northeast Vision. I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I'm not looking for a meeting. I'm not looking for a time to preach. I'm not looking for, I don't need somebody to pay my mortgage. I don't need anybody to pay the rent. I don't need anybody to pay the electric bill. All I want to do is take you and your wife out for dinner. And more than once, the preacher on the other side, can you say that again? Well, the preacher that I'm talking to you about, he did say, can you say that again? I said it again, and he said, okay. And so we went out, said, we'll take you any place. We stay away from those places that serve alcohol. But we'll take you any place that you want to go. And he said, well, take me to McDonald's. I said, come on, you got to do better than that. He said, no, just take me to McDonald's. Well, we went to McDonald's, and we sat down and talked. We ate and talked and ate and talked. You can't eat too much at McDonald's, but we talked. And brought him back to church, prayed with him, had just a little more time with him, and we left. 4 months later, we come back to visit the church on a Sunday afternoon for Sunday evening service. Good service. Testimony time. You all have testimony times. Used to have that in churches. On a Sunday night sometimes. You don't have Sunday night service right now. But testimony time, thank God that I got saved. Thank God. And so it was testimony time, and we're sitting out there. And he said, are there any testimonies? And he noticed Ma and I sitting there in the church. And he starts crying. I said, uh-oh. I was ugly, but I ain't that ugly. And he looks at me, he starts crying. And he said, folks, I need to tell you, Reb and Ma are here. They don't know this. But he called me on the phone. And he explained to the people about taking them out to McDonald's and so forth and so on, and giving them some words of encouragement. He said, they don't know that, but I had written out my resignation. I was resigning this church. And as I stand here today, he's standing in his pulpit today. Because somebody came along and said, I'll take you to McDonald's. Listen, brother and sister, we need encouragement. We need folks to say, I care about you. I care about you. I care about you. I care about you. We have become a very self-centered culture. It's all about Jesus. If you never met me, you missed nothing. Never met my Savior, you've missed everything. It's all about Him. And we need to work towards that. I thank God for the warm welcome that we found here. I thank God for your Sunday school opening. I'm excited about that. I really like to do it over and over and over again. Are you all singing the songs? You know them pretty much by heart, and that's great. And it's good. Let me give you something to think about. Did you ever use that with your children growing up? I remember my wife saying to my, I got three little girls. Well, they're not little anymore. One married a pastor, one married a pastor, one married a missionary kid. Anyway, look at me when I'm talking to you. Look at me. And so sometimes we got to capture your attention. All right? So we're going to take our Bibles, and I'm going to give you from the Word of God something to think about. All right? Turn, if you would, with me, please, to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to use the book of Philippians and the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. I'm going to try not to wander off too much this morning. I've colored my notes. I got them all nice and neat and all kind of. But the probability of my staying with these notes is very slim. When we're done, my wife will say, why did you bother making notes? Well, you didn't stay there. Well, we'll go wherever God wants us to go. Let me give you something to think about. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. The Apostle Paul says this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, that next phrase says this, think on these things. We are a culture that we've allowed a lot of people to do our thinking. We have become a lazy people. We don't venture out and decide for ourselves. We let the advertising industry tell us what we need. And instead of us thinking about what we need and telling the industry what we need. Think on these things. Let's read that verse again. How about you fill in the word when I stop? I'm not good at doing this, but you look like you are, so we'll try it. Finally. All right, that wasn't bad. First start. We're going to do it over again. All right. Finally. Whatsoever things are. Whatsoever things are. And whatsoever things are. And whatsoever things are. Whatsoever things are. Whatsoever things are of. Thank you. If there be any. If there be any. Think on these things. That's what we need to be thinking about. Over in the book of Psalms, it tells us, as a man thinketh, as an individual, as we think in our hearts and in our minds, so we are. They tell me that every criminal who's committed any type of crime has a path of wicked thinking. Wicked thinking. Wicked thinking. And we call it sometimes stinking thinking. You would agree with me today that in this nation, we are bombarded with stinking thinking. Now, if we have stinking thinking, we're sooner or later going to smell stinking. I took Ma for a pizza dinner, whatever. She was using the ladies' room, and I asked her, what do you want me to order? She said, and I don't. When she talks, I don't always pay attention. Come on, fellas. You know what I'm talking about. She thinks I got a bad memory. That's not the memory. It's a hearing. So anyway, she said, order me this with just a little bit. And So the waitress came, and she was still in the ladies' room. And she said, I'll take your order now. I said, well, I'll have some spaghetti. But my wife, she wants something plain. But she wants something on it. Oh, I know what she wants, the waitress said. She wanted crushed garlic. I didn't know. I said, yeah, that sounds good. That's probably what you want. Okay, bring it. When that dish left the kitchen to come out to the dining room, you could smell it coming. You could smell. And she did. And she said, honey, what'd you do? I said, you wanted something sprinkled on top of it. And the girl suggested the garlic, not powder, but garlic crumbs or whatever on top. It was just tons and loaded with it. And so the good husband that I was, I said, listen, I'll eat it. I will eat it. Okay? What a man consumes, he smells. I ate the whole thing. I wasn't going to waste it with my good money. I ate the whole thing, ate it and ate it. Well, we had to go from there to the grocery store. And we're in line. You're going, I mean, down the aisle. And one lady down the other side said, man, something stinks in here. What's that? That stinks. And I kind of got the idea. So I went the other aisle. So we did our shopping. It's time to go to the cashier. I wasn't thinking, and I didn't really know those ladies. There was a couple of them. So we got in line. And the one lady says to the other lady, there's that smell again. There's that smell. Something stinks in here. We are, they once told us, what we eat. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And God wants us to do spiritual thinking. Not stinking thinking, but spiritual thinking. What are you thinking about? Remember that little expression? A penny for your thoughts? With inflation, it's a dollar for your thoughts today. But a penny for your thoughts. What are you thinking about? Somebody once said, you cannot concentrate on what I'm saying for more than about 30 seconds. And your mind's going to go someplace else. And then you'll come back to me. Your mind's going to go someplace else. And right now, you're not paying attention to me. You're trying to figure out how long can I do it. I'm going to try myself. I'm going to do it. And you're not paying a bit of attention to what I'm doing. What I'm saying to you is God wants to talk to you. And he wants you to think about what his word says. And it's very plain. Anytime a preacher sees seven things in the Bible, says, hey, there, we got to teach that. We got to look just a little bit at that. Finally, Paul's been through a lot. Back to the verse 8. Finally, Paul's been through a lot, in a lot. Trials and tribulations, he's taught, he's been in adverse conditions, he's been in blessed conditions, and it's at that point where he wants to convey a truth. May we as grandparents, may we as mom and dad have a desire to convey some truth. Mine, I taught in Liberty Christian School at Open Door Bible Church for 38 years, and what we wanted to do was convey some truth, convey some truth, convey some truth. Now, some of the truth that we endeavor to convey, I hope you already know. You say, well, that might be primary, that might be kindergarten, it may be graduate work, but I hope we know some of this so we can give it to that next generation that just went downstairs. They need to hear what you know. They may not like hearing it, but you need to, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, cousin, brother, you need to let them know along the way. Finally, the Apostle Paul said, we're going to kind of summarize my life, Paul said. Finally, brethren, that's an interesting word to be called. I'm trying to think of that song, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. Do you know that? Brethren, we have met to worship. You don't get this every place. And we call each other brethren. And I'm glad to be with the brethren. The born-again body of believers that are here, there, and elsewhere. We're talking about 260-plus churches that Mon and I have been in. And there's a lot of brethren. You're not the only ones meeting at this time in this place. You are in this place. But you're not the only ones meeting like this. They're dotted all across the Northeast are a lot of churches who have gone through the 70s and into the 80s. And now they're saying, hey, we don't want just what we had. We want what God wants for us to have today. The songs that you were singing, they came through it. They survived, and they're on the up and coming. That's good music that you were singing. Good piano player, good song leader, good congregation of people singing the songs. In my heart, there rings a melody. Don't be ashamed of singing. I am, because I sound horrible, but I still sing. I still sing. We live in a Jewish neighborhood, and I like grocery stores. And there's a lot of Orthodox Jewish folks. They're hard to witness to sometimes. And so when I'm in line, we sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And you have the Orthodox rabbis and so forth, and they're there. They don't want to hear it. We ministered in an Orthodox Jewish nursing home. We brought our Christian school kids there, and so they didn't want to hear it. Rabbi come through. He's carrying the groceries. He's got a little push thing like that with the groceries on top of it. He leaned it up against the belly and put his fingers in his ear as our kids were singing about Jesus. Somebody needs to hear. Somebody needs to get the gospel. No better place. There's no place like this place, near this place, so this has got to be the place God's using. Keep up that work. Finally, brethren. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. I think in that song, will somebody come and help me? Come and join me. You don't leave me up here stranded. Amen. Brethren, finally, brethren, consider whatsoever things are true. On this side, and I'm going to designate my wife. She didn't know I was going to do this. Psalm 119, 160, okay? Whatsoever things are true, free from falsehood. It's hard to find something, someplace, something that's really true. But you hold on your lap a King James Bible. Isn't that beautiful sign up there? You hold on your lap the Word of God. And we need to expound it. We need to teach it. We need to tell it. We need to get... I don't know everything in this book. And I don't know every truth in this book. And you heard this before. But I know that everything that is in this book is true. And so our culture needs that. They're starving for what is true. What is truth? This book, expounded by the people of God, through the Holy Spirit of God, can help a lost and dying world. You are glad, I am glad, that we got saved. But there are folks on the other side of these walls that are not saved. And we need, again, get the gospel. We need a little bit fanatical. Just a little bit. You all have gospel tracts? Uh-huh. We all bashful about handing out tracts? Come on now. This way, not this way. We're all just a little bit bashful. I've told our people, just get the gospel track out. One of the men in our church, we live close to the Atlantic Ocean. He was a garbage collector. Before recycling was, or even when it was there, the glass bottles. He would take the glass bottles, dump a little bit of soda that was left in them, take the gospel track, put it in the glass bottle, screw the top on real tight. I don't know if he put wax around or not, but got it real tight. And he'd take a garbage can full of those bottles down to the jetties. You all know what jetties are? Those rocks that go out into the water. And he'd go to the end of the jetty. Now, he's a garbage man, so he's there like 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. And he'd take all those bottles and throw them in the water. Hopefully the tide would take them. And we got them back as far as Maryland. People see, walking along the beach see a bottle down there with something in it. They figure it is Captain Kidd's treasure map. And so they'll take it and they'll tear it open to get inside. And then they find it's a God's simple plan of salvation track. He would not. Thursday night visitation. He would not show up for visitation. He would not. He liked his little truck. He liked his little compartment. He liked driving, doing what he was doing. He'd come out to church. But he was shy to hand somebody a tract. Now, if you're shy, go get some Pepsi bottles. Take the tract and then put the tract in somewhere. Somewhere. We've challenged to pass out one tract every day. Tract a day. Sometimes it's easy. We were in a grocery store yesterday, Walmart. Everybody goes to Walmart. And I said, Ma, you have a tract? She hands me a tract, and I hand it to the lady. I said, I'd love to have you come out to church. That was from Berlin, New Jersey. It's a little ways from where you're at, but what's inside is very important. Get the gospel message out. Get it out. Keep track. How many tracts did you pass out this week? It's not a competition. Well, I'm the spiritual giant in this church because I passed out more tracts than anybody else. Good. Praise God. But everybody else is trying. Nobody, or not everybody or anybody, really hits 500 in baseball. But they certainly try and keep trying. All right. Whatsoever things are true. Ma, did you find that verse?
Yes.
Thank you. Read it for me, please. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Sin against thee. We need to, once again, bring back a culture that's hiding the word of God in their heart. Whatsoever things are true. Next it says, whatsoever things are honest, that are genuine, trustworthy. Fellas, you ever buy a pair of pliers that were on sale and you took them home and you went to squeeze something, the pliers fell apart? They lied to you. They sold you something that looked like pliers, but they weren't pliers. They sold you something that looked like a screwdriver, but it really wasn't a screwdriver. You know, it looked like it, but it really wasn't. We need to be honest. We need to be honest. What you see is what you get. Truth in advertising. Thank God for a fundamental Bible-believing, God-loving, devil-hating Baptist church that stands without apology for the old-time gospel. That's truth in advertising. When we came on campus here this morning, we were greeted by what we expected. It was called truth in advertising. What you have set forth in a community, in an area, is what you are. And make no apologies for it. And stay there. Don't let it slide. Don't let it... Just stay right there. Whatsoever things are honest. Psalm 119:29. Remove from me the way of lying. What you see is what you get. Truth in advertising. I spent a lot of time with teenagers. Teenagers have a real problem with truth in advertising. I was at camp one time and I took, some of you might remember, Pepsi Clear. They made Pepsi Cola in the bottles that was clear. They also make vinegar. That's clear. All right. So I had a bottle of Pepsi Clear, and I had another bottle of Pepsi Clear. One was doctored. Okay. And you know how kids like, they have competition and all that kind of stuff. So I've got a $5 bill. I don't know what I had, but I got a $5 bill to the one who can drink this. I got two of the macho boys up there. On your mark, get set, go. Bleep. One was a real Pepsi. Good, 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 good. The other was a... I didn't make any friend on that one. This world needs to see truth. Real Christians. Real Christians. Uh-huh. That means you're trucking back to the store because the store gave you $2 more change than what you were supposed to get. Truth in advertising. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Just means being controlled by the laws of God. Being controlled by the laws of God. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word, God's word, thy word have I hid in my, say it for me, that I might not against thee. Just. So down here in my notes. When bad men become lawmakers, then good men become lawbreakers. We need to have an idea of being just. Whatsoever things are pure. What might be a definition? Help me out. I've been sitting here quietly and so forth. Whatsoever things are pure. If you think of something pure, what is it missing? What something that's pure, what does it not have in it? It doesn't have the word. From a physical point, contaminants. And if the word God is pure, if the word of God is the word of God, then it's pure. It doesn't have any contaminants in it. It doesn't have anything left out. It's got all of what it's supposed to have and nothing of what it shouldn't have. I'm glad you have the Bible that you have sitting on your lap. If that post should be indicative of the nature of the body of believers here. Whatsoever things are pure. Think on these things. Think on these things. Is this media conveying to me truth? Or is it slanted? Or is it, you know, doctored? Or, you know, you think, you know, how pure is what you're being fed? Yeah. There's not a lot of pure communications out there. We have tried over the years to get Christian communications, but there's not a market for it. What we need to do is enhance the market, create the market. We need to endorse the market. You ever hear Jack Wortson? Okay. I'm trying to think of some of the older time. How about, give me a name of an old time preacher. Anybody remember an older preacher? Who? Okay, Albert B. Green. Amen. All right. And there were those guys that were trying to communicate the truth. But you need to have what I'm calling a market, but you need to have an audience. You need to have an ear of people who want to hear. You run down the radio dial today, you're hard-pressed to find a Christian radio station. And if you find a Christian radio station, you have to put the word Christian in quotes and do some clarification. Am I right? I've got those little round things that look like flying saucers with music on it. We have those in the motorhome. So I don't have to run down the dial to find anything. We've already edited our music. We've already selected our music. We've already selected the preaching. And they're all in that little thing, and I can control them. Be careful when it comes across the radio. It's treading on very, very, very thin ice. Whatsoever things are pure, without contaminants, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely, in harmony with nature, in harmony with nature. Contemporary art is indicative, characteristic of a culture. Modern art is not in harmony with God's nature. It's out of harmony. When it came in the 50s and 60s, modern art, remember that? You look at, and somebody says, well, that's a door. And you say, how did they get a door out of that? It was a tool of the devil to get the culture to accept something that was not in harmony with nature or with God's nature. There are some colors that go together comfortably, and there are other colors that don't go together comfortably. So what does that have to do with you? Because the devil's coming along just trying to mess up any and everything he possibly can. And here Paul's saying, think on these things. Think about it. Don't leave it to the preacher. Don't leave it to the Sunday school teacher only. But you'd be thinking about, what is that? I got a thank you note from somebody. And here I am, a thank you note. And I'm critiquing the thank you note. It has two images that are totally out of bounds. Out of shape. They're just line drawing. But totally out. It wasn't in balance. Now, God made things in balance. Y'all still with me? Made it in balance. And the devil comes along, and if he can get us to accept these things out of balance. You ever see a billboard where half the word is written? You know what the word is. Just say home, but they only give you part of the E and a part of the H over here, and they leave the rest of your imagination. They're trying to get you to accept distortion. We didn't get in this mess in the USA accidentally. The devil and the devil's crowd didn't like what was happening. Back in, I wasn't there, 1900, one out of 100 marriages ended in divorce. We had a pretty strong, we had sin, we had problems and so forth and so on, but we had a strong Christian nation, or a stronger Christian nation. All right? So the devil said, we can't have that. So he started messing with the culture, right up until 2000. It's not a shock that we are in the mess that we are today. Who has the solution? Who? God has the solution. All right? God's people, God's church, have the remedy. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. When a person's saved, they have a new nature. And that new nature says, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. I don't like that anymore. I've got new spiritual taste buds. Okay? And so my taste buds, your taste buds, like spiritual things. I hope you've grown, and I hope the growth has been real short. We're talking about music. The secular mode of music, I hope you've grown against it. Let me just finish here. We were discussing what time Sunday school was over before it started. And they said, you have until quarter after. And then they said, well, you can probably go a little bit longer. I said, don't tell me I have until quarter after, because I'm going to go longer than that. Whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are in harmony with nature, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. My tongue, the psalmist said, shall speak of thy word. Good report. Tell me something good you got. So I back home at Open Door when I was there forever and a day. But we would do, not all the time, but we would do oft times, testimony time. Tell me something good that's happened to you this week. Something that God's blessed you with. And then what happens is, if you're not used to thinking about that, our mind has to dig into the crevices to find out something good God's done for me. Now, I'm not going to switch over to testimony time, but I'm glad that you're going like this. That you're thinking, God's been good. And there are trials and tribulations. There are heartaches. There are pains. There are diseases and so forth and so on. But through it all, the songwriter said, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all. Of good report. I'm here to give you a good report. I thank God for what's happening in the Northeast. I thank God for the awakening. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And in the Northeast, there's some smoke. I'm not talking about that kind of smoke or anything else. I'm talking about an awakening, a beginning. This crowd that's here this morning is an indication that things are still alive in what I'm calling the Northeast. You can call it Pennsylvania, whatever, but it's alive. Somebody needs to know, the world needs to know, but the community around here needs to know, this place is not like those places. This place is alive. And let the folks know. You ever go to the young ladies, did I look that bad? They sent the nurse. Did you call mom? She did. She's trying to get rid of me. Wherever I was, I'm going to stop. It's 25 after. My point being, think on these things. Things that you learned back yonder, down in Sunday school class and primary church and on up, and then share with somebody else. Think on these things. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Because as you're thinking, so you are. I played basketball with our kids at school. They told me they used to have backboards up here. Any of you here when they had the backboards up? at each end? No? Oh, he remembers hearing about it. Well, I played basketball with our kids. And every once in a while, I like them to find out how good I am. No, anyway, hey, tell me, if you're shooting a foul shot, okay, remember that little train going up the hill, I think I can. I got to the top. Can you shoot a foul shot? Think you can. It shouldn't be a surprise that you made it. I think I can do what God wants me to do in my life. I think I can give you track. I think I can testify. I think on Christmas time, I can stand on the street corner and sing Christmas carols. Hello? Did I say I was going to stop?
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, bless something that was said, Bible verse or two that was read from your book. Bless it to our hearts. Help us to think about it and ponder. Bless the service that follows. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.